Henry Ford once made an incredible statement. He said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Believe it or not, that principle is not new to Henry Ford. That's actually a principle found in the Word of God, because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, the way you think determines who you become. Your life will follow the direction of your thinking. Some people say you are what you eat. If that's true, I would be battered and deep fried. Okay? People say you are what you eat, but I say you are what you think. So many times our problems can be traced back to wrong decisions, wrong attitudes, and wrong mindsets. It's what Zig Ziglar called stinking thinking. Tell somebody, it's stinking thinking. And that's what I want to focus on today, just for a few moments, dealing with the problem of stinking thinking. Because many times in life, your greatest obstacle is not your external circumstances, it's your internal attitudes. I'm going to say that again. Your greatest obstacle in life is often not your external circumstances, it's your internal attitudes. We are limited in how far we go in life because of wrong thinking and wrong mentalities. I heard the story of a young couple who had just gotten married, and the young bride wanted to impress her new husband, so she decided that she was going to make him a ham using her mama's secret recipe. So he was in the kitchen, he was helping her get everything ready, and she takes out the ham and she slices off both ends of the ham and puts it in the pan. He says, now why, I've never seen anybody do that to a ham before. Why are you cutting the ends off the ham? She said, you know, I don't know. It's the way mama's always done it. So she gets on the phone that night and she calls her mom and says, mama, why do you cut the ends off the ham? She says, baby, I don't know. Grandma used to always do that. So the next day, she calls her grandmother and says, Grandma, why do you cut the ends off the ham? She said, baby, that's so simple. I have a little pan, so I have to cut the ham to fit in the pan. Some of y'all have been cutting the ends off the ham, and you don't even know why, because you have a mindset, a way of thinking that's been handed down to you. It's time to change the way you think. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I want to read that again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I submit to you that you will never know and understand the will of God in your life until you change the way you think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, at the very heart of Christianity is the idea of transformation. Because there is a fundamental transformation that takes place when you give your heart to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not the person you used to be. You've been transformed into a new creation. But how many of you know that this transformation is a lifelong process? Is anybody bold enough to admit that you're still a work in progress this morning? And everybody who doesn't, liar, liar, pants on fire. We're all a work in progress. Transformation begins at salvation and continues throughout our life. Listen, Christianity is not a self-help religion. There are no three easy steps to Christianity. Do this and don't do that. Christianity is not about following rules. It's about a total transformation from the inside out. It's not about following a list of rules on the outside. It's about God changing us on the inside. It's about surrendering every part of your life to Jesus so he can transform you into a new creation. And we get excited about transformation. We sing about transformation. We praise God about transformation. We testify about transformation. But here's the difficult truth. Transformation can be a painful process. Because often it involves removing the old stuff so God can create some new stuff. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Christianity is about self-denial. The mentality of this world is just say yes. Say yes to yourself. Whatever you want, the answer is yes. That's what this world is saying. If you feel it, do it. If you want it, take it. Whatever you want, whoever you want to be, whatever you want to do, however you want to live, just say yes. But Christianity is the opposite of this world. Christianity says, deny yourself, say yes to Jesus. Someday, some of you need to get up and go in the bathroom and look in the mirror and just say no. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting this morning. Some of you, your greatest enemy is in the mirror staring back at you in the morning. You need to look at that joker and say, no. No, flesh. You're not going to mess up God's plan for my life today. I'm not going to let your lust, your bad attitudes, your wrong thinking, your anger, your temper, your selfish needs. You're not going to mess up what God is doing in my life today. God is looking for people who will say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Transform me into the person you want me to be. Christianity says, die to yourself so you can live for Jesus. Christianity is not a feel-good religion like some people make it out to be. Listen, I believe in having fun. I believe that Christians ought to have more fun than anybody else on this planet. But we don't exist to make you feel good about yourself. We're not in the people-pleasing business. We're in the people-saving business. And every now and then, I think we need to be reminded of that. This past week, Friday morning, I went to see Dr. Lee over there on Wayne Memorial Drive. And I'm waiting in the patient room, and Dr. Lee throws open the door. He doesn't say, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm Dr. Lee. He runs in the room and says, open up your mouth and say, ah. Then he says, deep breath. One, two, three, breathe. Again, one, two, three, breathe. Then he said, let me look in your, ooh, your ears are red. You got infection. And Dr. Lee walks out of the room. No, hey, how you doing? How's your week? How's your family? How's your mama doing? How's work going? No. But you know what? That's okay, because I didn't go to Dr. Lee for him to make me feel good about myself. I went to see him so he could tell me what's wrong with me so I would know how to fix it. When I go to the doctor, I don't want him to pat me on the back and tell me that I'm a good person. I want him to tell me what's wrong with me. A month ago, I went up to UNC hospitals, and I had to go into a procedure in the operating room, and I had to be awake the whole time. So when they rolled me into the OR, they asked me, they said, what kind of music do you want us to play today? And I don't know, I wish I could say something spiritual like, oh, I want to have praise and worship going the whole time. And I want to hear angels singing and speaking in tongues and an atmosphere of worship. But you know what I said? I said, I don't care, because you are about to work on me. So what do you want to hear today? I don't care. You're about to cut open my leg, go through my heart, into my brain. You pick the music today. Because I wasn't there to hear my favorite song. Y'all see where I'm going with this? That's representative of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit, when you have an encounter with God, God's just not just going to sit here and pat you on the head and make you feel good about yourself. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to lay you on the operating table and cut open your leg and go inside of you and cut on you and poke and prod and say, hey, this shouldn't be here. I'm going to remove this. Jesus gave the analogy of people who are lost as people who are sick and need a doctor. Can you imagine if I went to the doctor and said, my stomach's hurting? The doctor just pats me on the shoulder and says, yeah, but the rest of you so good. But my stomach's hurting. Well, it's okay. Let's not focus on what's wrong with you. Let's focus on what's right with you. I love your hair. Your hair's looking good today. Yeah, but my stomach is hurting. Well, it's okay. You're a good person. All right. But my stomach, I'm having pain. Yeah, but I still love you anyway. I love you just the way you are. That's not how Word of God works. Yes, the Word of God will encourage you, but sometimes the Word of God will cut you and pierce you and operate on you and work on you. He will do the difficult work of transformation in your life. How does that happen? When you renew your mind. When I teach the Word of God, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to poke you and prod you and push on you. And you might say, ouch, sometimes. And the Holy Spirit's, okay, Sally, this is an area where we need to focus on, because that's a little bit of conviction. I know it hurts right now, but I'm going to have to deal with this for your benefit and for your good. But, Pastor, I thought God loves me just the way I am. Yes, baby, God loves you just the way you are. But God loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. Because our God is in the transformation business. He will take you and everything that doesn't please Him and everything that doesn't look like Jesus, He's going to work on those areas of your life. He loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay that way. God is in the transformation business, and He's looking for a business partner. Some of y'all missed that. I'm going to say it again. God is in the transformation business, and He's looking for a business partner. You see, this Christian life is not one-sided. It's not where we kick back and enjoy ourselves while God does all the work of transformation in our lives. No. This thing is a partnership between us and God. God will transform you, but you must renew your mind in order for Him to do that transformation work. Some of you, your mind is like a toddler. It's always running off, getting into stuff it shouldn't be getting into. Listen, you better keep track of where your mind goes. Renewing your mind takes work. Tell somebody it takes work. We, as the people of God, must constantly be aware of what is going into our minds and what we allow to stay there. I love what somebody said. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can't keep it from building a nest there. We have to control what thoughts pop into our head. Do you know we all have bad thoughts flooding our mind all the time? Do y'all know that? You're not the only one in the room. That's every one of us. We are under a constant bombardment of thoughts. There are three sources of thoughts in our mind. There are thoughts that come from God. There are thoughts that come from you. And there are thoughts that come from the devil. Did y'all know that? Did you know that all three of them are sending emails to your inbox? Thoughts from you, thoughts from God, thoughts from the devil. Well, how do I know which is which? I'm glad you asked me that today. We have to have wisdom to know the difference. You have to have wisdom to discern the difference between your thoughts, God's thoughts, and thoughts the enemy will plant in your mind. Amen. Where do we get wisdom from? Comes from Jesus. Colossians 2 verse 3 says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of it. All the wisdom and all the knowledge you will ever need is hidden in Jesus Christ. Why is it hidden? Not so we have to look for it so the enemy can't find it, but we have access to all wisdom and all knowledge through Jesus. And here's the good news. He'll give you as much as you need. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. My God has an abundant supply of wisdom, and he'll give us as much of it as we need. All we have to do is ask him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I love that. I stand on that one. How does God give us the kind of wisdom that comes from Jesus? Through his word. If you want to be wise, if you want to have a competitive edge on the world, if you want to defeat the devil, you need to open up the pages of the Word of God and begin to study and to read and to meditate on what God says, and there will be no limit to the amount of wisdom that you'll learn from the Bible. When you study the Word of God, this is what you'll discover. God's wisdom is not like the world's wisdom. In fact, God's wisdom is often the exact opposite of the wisdom of this world. The Bible in the book of James tells us that there are two types of wisdom. There's wisdom from above and wisdom from below. There's the wisdom of this world. There's self-seeking wisdom. And then there's wisdom from above, the kind of wisdom that only comes from God. As believers, we have to learn to recognize the difference. The wisdom of this world says everybody's doing it, so you should probably do it too. The wisdom from above says God said don't do it, so I'm going to stay away from it. You see the difference. Wisdom from above, wisdom from below. The wisdom of this world is about popularity and pleasure, but the wisdom of God is about salvation and eternal life. The wisdom of this world says put yourself first and look out for your own interest and you'll do well. But the wisdom of God says humble yourself before me and I will lift you up. Yes. And I really think it's all about perspective. Who are you listening to and what are you hanging around? Are you influenced more by God's perspective or by the world's perspective? Let me give you an illustration. We have a fire ant hill in our front yard. And fire ants and two-year-olds, they don't mix very well. And of course, where do you think my child wants to go as soon as he comes out the door? He wants to go to that ant hill. So I took this stuff that I got from Lowe's, and you open it up, and it makes you want to just throw up when you open it. It smells horrible. It's really disgusting stuff. But I took it and I poured this powder on the fire ant mound, and an unusual thing happened. These fire ants began to swarm out of the mound and grab as much of this stinky, nasty stuff as they could find. They would grab it up and they would take it back into the mound. Now, the weird thing is that to the fire ants, it was pleasing to them. This feels good, this smells good, this tastes good. I'm going to get as much of this as I can. That was the fire ant perspective. My perspective is, you know what? If you eat that, it's going to kill you. That's wisdom from above versus wisdom from below. Wisdom below says, you know what? This is cool and this feels good and I like this and I enjoy this and my friends do this and people on TV do this and Hollywood says it's okay and everybody else says it's okay. So if it feels good, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live like I want to. But God is standing looking down from heaven saying, don't touch that stuff because it's going to kill you. It's all about perspective. We need wisdom from above because the wisdom of this world will lie to you. It will deceive you. It will trick you. It will rob you of your peace of mind. It will rob you of your integrity. It will take everything away from you. Wisdom from above says, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in God and let Him guide you. You can't control what thoughts come in, but you do control what happens once they get there. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare, how many of y'all know we're in a war? Did you know that? We're in a spiritual war. When you become a child of God, you are immediately called up to active duty. Okay, there are no reserves in the army of God. Every one of us, we are called to be active in this war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So according to what we just read, the spiritual battle that we fight involves our thoughts. Talks about the weapons of our warfare, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought. Spiritual warfare involves changing your way of thinking. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When a thought comes through your mind, you better examine and know the Word of God and say, does this line up with the will of God and the Word of God and the wisdom of God? Amen. Or does this line up with the world's way of thinking? Here's how you fight this battle. I'm going to give y'all a Monday through Friday analogy, okay? When I was in Dr. Lee's office, I observed two employees in there that just about got started in a fist fight. I'm going to give you a Monday through Friday analogy. It got tense in there. I had to get my prescription and run. I'm going to help you, okay? I'm going to give you some everyday examples. Here's the thought. I'm so mad at you, I want to punch you in the face right now. Anybody ever had a thought like that? Yup. Everybody lying, trying to act all churchy and perfect. Here's a thought. This thought comes out. I want to punch you in the face right now. But here's what the Word of God says. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's how you do warfare, my friends. The enemy will plant that seed, lash out in anger, cuss them out, punch them out. But the Word of God says, my weapon says, blessed are the peacemakers. The devil will plant that thought, I just want to cuss you out right now. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Yes, it does. That's how you fight this Christian fight. Come on, somebody. When the enemy plants a thought in your mind, I'm not going to blame it on the enemy. When your flesh plants a thought in your mind, you need to come back with the Word of God. Here's another bad thought. I just want to go out and get drunk and just forget it all. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that one. But Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. My God, there's no high like a Holy Ghost high. You need, you want to go out, you're tempted to go out in the world, get drunk and crunk and whatever else you can get. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because there's no hangover that comes after that. Man, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you get filled with power from on high. Oh my goodness. That's why the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's the exact opposite thing. The same need filled in a different way. You're empty and the world says be drunk, but God says be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we do warfare. Y'all see where we're... this is just training. I know it's not deep. If you want deep, we'll go next door and I'll go down to the bottom in the basement and we'll preach some if you want to get deep. But I'm just trying to help you with everyday life for a moment here, okay? Here's another example. A thought planted by the enemy. Well, we're not married, but I love him, and it's okay. Ephesians 5:3 says, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, for it is improper for God's holy people. Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Listen, this is how you do warfare. I'm helping somebody. If I ain't helping any of y'all, I'm going to go give out CDs after church. But I'm helping somebody. When you have a simple thought come into your mind, you need to immediately put that thought in a holding cell and go refer to the book of the Word of God and compare that thought to what God said. That's what the Bible says. We need to hold every thought captive. You have a thought come in your mind that doesn't feel right with your spirit, you need to put it in that holding cell, consult the Word of God, and come back and deal with that thought. It's not just sinful thoughts. It's also thoughts of doubt and defeat. Here's another thought. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I know nobody here has ever felt that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you, and he will not leave you and he will not forsake you. We all go through seasons of loneliness, and we all go through seasons of isolation. When the enemy plants those thoughts and says, you're all alone, nobody cares, nobody loves you, you say, hold on a second, I'm going to put that in the holding cell. I'm going to hold that thought captive, and I'm going to see what God says. Because everybody on this planet can leave you, but God said, I will never leave you. Everybody else can stop loving you and turn their back on you, but the Bible says that nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Here's another negative thought. I'm sick and I'm going to die. I think this every time I get an ingrown toenail. Guys can be a little dramatic when it comes to sickness. I act all tough when it comes to build stuff and cuts and splinters. I have a splinter that long. It's no big deal. But I get a cold. Oh, boy. I'm writing out my final will and testament. I'm sick and I'm going to die. Hold that thought. Because the Bible says in Psalm 118:17, I shall live and not die to declare the good works of the Lord. Isaiah 53:5 says, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jeremiah 30:17, the promise of God, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord, your healer. Take every thought captive. Here's another negative thought. Well, I can't afford to tithe. I know none of y'all have ever said that. This is for the church down the street. I almost sent them a link to the podcast. Well, I can't afford to tithe. Hold that thought. Leviticus 27:30 says the tithe belongs to God.
That's right.
It's not an issue of affordability. It's an issue of possession. It belongs to the Lord. And this is what I have found in my life, that when you trust God, God can do more with 90% than you could ever do with 100%. Hate to break it to you, but he's a little bit better at math than we are. That's a decision my wife and I made from day one. We're going to honor God with our tithe. And we have had some tough times. It has been tight as a tick sometimes. I mean, it's been so tight that I went to the store to get ketchup and went to McDonald's instead. Put up them little packs and squirt them in the ketchup bottle, and Amber never knew. She was none the wiser. Same brand and everything. Heinz. It's been tight at times, but God has always provided. And I can't even figure out sometimes how God provided. But God has made a way, because when you trust Him, He will take care of you. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the tithes into the storehouse and God will open up the windows of heaven and trickle out a blessing. Says He'll pour out a blessing. So you won't have room to contain it. Here's another negative thought. I can't do it. I can't do this. I'm just not going to make it. Oh, yeah. How many of y'all think that at least 2 or 3 or 10 times a day? Come on, we all have thoughts like that. Well, I can't do this. I don't have enough strength inside of me to do this. I just can't make it. I'm just going to give up. Hold that thought. I'm about to change the sermon title. Hold that thought. Because Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Listen, I know that you don't have enough strength right now to face what you're facing, but the good news is you don't have to use your own stuff, because Jesus has all the strength you need. When you are empty and weak, He said, in your weakness, my power is made perfect. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. It doesn't matter what kind of opposition I'm facing on the outside. The God on the inside of me is greater. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If God is for us, who can be against us? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. Psalm 91:11, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. When the enemy comes in to say that you can't do it, you need to hold that thought. What does God say? My God. When the devil comes at you with what he says, you come back at him with what God says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. This ain't no mamby-pamby mess. God didn't give you a BB gun. You have a nuclear arsenal at your disposal. The devil would try to trick you and make you think that this is an even fight, but it is not. That's why the devil will do everything he can to keep you out of that book. Because you get your finger in that book, oh, it's on now. Because the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're mighty in God. They're mighty in God. They're mighty in God. When the enemy plants those thoughts in your mind, you go to your arsenal. Because God's weapons outnumber the enemy every time. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice those two words, thoughts and imaginations. Thoughts, we talked a lot about thoughts, but what about imaginations? You see, imaginations are a little more dangerous. Imagination is a thought that you've played with for a little while. An imagination is a thought that you've allowed to linger to the point where you're daydreaming and thinking about it. So you said it, trouble. I battle this. I get a bad headache. I get PTSD. Head starts hurting. Start imagining myself fall on the floor having a seizure, ambulance picking me up, see the doctors working on you, doctor walking out talking to my wife. That's an imagination. The Word of God says, cast those out. Kick them out. Pull them down. Pull them down. Pull them down. Every one of us, when we have a negative thought, our flesh wants to have an imagination. It wants to take that negative thought and dwell on it and make it worse and play it out in your mind and have this big scenario. And listen, that is a faith-destroying act of the devil. Don't let those thoughts become imaginations. They're easier to destroy when they're a thought. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty enough to pull those imaginations down too. This is where the battle is fought, church. It's fought in our mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Tell somebody, hold that thought. Will you stand with me today as we prepare to close, as the worship team comes? I want us to take a moment before we leave today and allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us. Because every one of us, we fight this battle on a daily basis. God's will for your life is to transform you into a mighty woman of God, a mighty man of God, to be strong in your faith, to be an overcomer, to be victorious. And so many times, the only thing that is limiting God is that we're not renewing our mind with the Word of God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have armed us, that we are armed and dangerous. We thank you, God, that you have given us every weapon that we need to win the battle. Lord, it's my prayer that all of us would make a daily commitment to renew our minds according to the Word of God. Lord, when we have those negative thoughts from our flesh, those negative thoughts from the enemy, God, may we have enough wisdom to hold those thoughts captive. And Lord, to deal with those thoughts according to the Word of God. And Lord, it is my prayer that every one of us, God, would have a fresh hunger, a fresh desire to know your word, to seek your word, to read your word, to study your word, to meditate on your word. God, that when the enemy comes in, we would be armed and ready. Lord, that we would overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Father, I thank you, Lord, for just giving us the grace we need every day, God, to address these thoughts from the enemy. God, help us to renew our minds continually. God, to let your work of transformation, God, take effect in our lives. Lord, shape us and make us and mold us, transform us into the people that you want us to be, Lord. God, open up our eyes to see. Open up our minds, God, to your wisdom. Lord, that we would operate in accordance to the wisdom of this world, but we would rely on that wisdom from above. God, help us to see with your perspective. For your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. God, help us, Lord, to renew our minds according to the way that you think. Lord, that we would be the overcomers that you've destined us to be. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God.